Hi, welcome to Restoration. So glad that you're with us after our last week's hiatus as we preached in Dalton. More on that in just a few moments. Let somebody know that Restoration is on the air. We're going to continue in our series on faith in Hebrews chapter 11 as we look at the patriarchs of the faith, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. So let somebody know and come be with us. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Stansberry. We're continuing on in the life of faith. If you were with us for the past 2 weeks, excluding last week, we talked about what Abraham and Sarah can teach us about faith. Today we're going to look at Abraham again, but also add in, if we have time, Jacob and Isaac as we move forward in talking about the life of faith as we go through the book of Hebrews. By way of just a quick reminder, the word for faith in the Greek text is the word pistis, which means to trust in the character of the one making the promise. And then we tell that we stand firm in that. You'll see that the word is hypostasis, which hypo meaning it's a compound word. Hypo meaning to be by or under. And hypostasis or hypostasis means to stand firm, stability on the promise. So you stand on that promise. So what he's saying to you is that by faith we trust the character of God and stand firm on the promises that he's made for us. Let's go to prayer, then we're going to start into the Word. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people, to teach them on the life of faith. And I pray, Father God, for one thing, that they don't hear my voice, but they hear yours. And that they begin to walk and understand that faith is not some pie in the sky, but it's what they need today to walk every day. And we're going to be careful, God, to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start with verse 17 and work our way down to verse number 19 in Hebrews chapter number 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, that is, as the testing of his faith was still in progress, offered up Isaac, and who he had received the promises of God, was ready to sacrifice his only son of promise, to whom it was said, "Through Isaac your descendants shall be called." For he considered it reasonable to believe that God was able to raise Isaac even from among the dead, indeed in the sense that he was prepared to sacrifice Isaac in the obedience to God. Abraham did receive him back from the dead, figuratively speaking. So it's a story we all know. God spoke to Abraham and said, take Isaac, your only son, and be ready to offer him. What I want you to kind of grasp, or the thing I want you to hang on to, is that Abraham had that promise of God, and that's what he clung to. A lot of times in our life, it may even seem to us that the promise that God has made to us is dead. But what God wants to remind you, if he's written it in his word, it's for you today. It's for you to keep. It's for you to have. So he had a promise that had already been made to him, that he would be the father of nations. He knew the Messiah, all the nations would be blessed, would come through his line, and his descendants would inherit the land. So how do we rectify that in today when all we hear about the life of faith is the blame it, you know, the grab it, claim it, blame it, grab it, claim it, all the different ways we say it, rather than what is it truly? Notice what happened in Romans chapter 4, verse number 13 through 23. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through observing the requirements of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, his works did not make him an inheritor. His works is not what gave him what God was going to give him. It was his righteousness through faith. You can't work your way into the promises of God, but you can accept them through faith and then through the obedience. We're going to talk about that. If those who are followers of the law are the true heirs of Abraham, then faith leading to salvation is of no effect and void, and the promise of God is nullified. For the law results in God's wrath against sin, but where there is no law, there is no violation of it either. Therefore, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith, that is, confident trust in the unseen God, in order that it may be given as an act of grace, his unmerited favor and mercy, so that the promise will be legally guaranteed to all the descendants of Abraham, not only for those Jewish believers who keep the law, but also for those Gentile believers who share the faith of Abraham, who is their spiritual father of us all. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. We can get so hung up on what our works are, what we do or what we don't do, that we start to believe or function as if what we are doing is an act of our volition. That's why when Paul is writing here, again, I still believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He says that the he wanted to do this, so it would be an act of grace. He wanted to give it to you, give it to me, as an act of His mercy and an act of His love toward us, not something that we have inherited or that we've earned. The problem with many in the church today, we walk that there's two lines you walk. You either have those who completely do everything by faith, there's no works. Then you've got those who just say, I'm going to work my way to heaven. When the balance is, because of what He's done in my life, what the outgrowth of that is my behavior. My behavior doesn't earn me Christ. It is that I'm so in love with Him as my future bride. I'm His bride, as the church is the bride of Christ, that I live a different way. To get to that place in your life means that you as a believer start really trusting in the promises of God, confessing God's word, and letting that begin to change you from the inside out. Jesus lived His life. I read a book just yesterday where a child said, but Jesus always lived inside out. What was on the inside of Jesus always came out and people were blessed. What is on the inside of you will also do the same thing. So we know that Abraham is called by the writer here as the father of all faith. Notice what he says in verse 17. As it is written in Scripture, I have made you the father of many nations or many ethnicities. Can I just tell you, it doesn't matter what your skin color is, what your culture is. Once you're under Christ, all of that goes away. You are one person, one body of Christ. The only way that the church is ever going to stop racism in the world is to get rid of the divisions in the church and realize we're not a white, black, green, purple, orange, whatever color or whatever ethnicity you claim, but I am now a child of God. I now am in the image of Christ. I have made you the father of many nations in the sight of Him in whom He believed, that is God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Now, we stop there. I've heard a lot of people quote that that's what we are to do, but that's not what it says. It says He had a hope in God who could call, who could give life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. God simply stepped out on the rampart of glory, on the front stoop of glory, and said, let there be. And all of creation snapped to that. You will see in the Old Testament and the New Testament times where people were dead and they were brought back to life simply by the Word of God. What we have to get a hold of, that the God that we serve is so powerful, He can restore things that are dead. The vision that you have is dead. The promise that you think is dead. The relationship that you think is dead and unrecoverable. God is able to do exceedingly over that and bring that back to life. You see, we are the Word. That's why we talk every time we start these sessions. We talk about the pistis and hypostasis, is so that you understand that the life of faith is saying, I trust God that He is able to do everything that He promised, and because He can do everything that He promised, I'm going to stand on that word. When we looked back in some earlier chapters, Noah was told, build the ark and you'll survive. Noah built the ark and he survived. We saw that Abraham was promised a child. He got a child. We understand that worship and Enoch, they all had these promises, and that's what they held on to. Today, God has promised you things in His Word, and if you're confessing God's Word, it can take root and begin to grow in you. However, if you're confessing what the world tells you, or you're trying to think like the world, you'll never really experience what He has. Verse 18, in hope against hope. Even though what the physical realm told him, even though everything that his eyes and his five senses, because can I just tell you, you're never going to really experience the life of faith if you continually give in to the five senses. Because sometimes things are going to happen in your life and through your life that you really not have no context for. So he says right here that, hoping against hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many nations, as he had been promised by God. So numberless shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body, now good as dead, for producing children, since he was about 100 years old, and he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and empowered by faith, giving glory to God, verse 21, being fully convinced that God had the power to do what he had promised. Therefore, what was the promise? Because he believed that God could do what he promised. In the flesh, I'm 100 years old. All my stuff don't work right. My wife is in her 90s. That all's not going to work right, but God has promised us a child. So he can bring the dead womb and the dead things back to life. And in bringing that back to life, he can speak into this barren couple's world, a child of their lineage, of their loins. You see, sometimes in your life and some things maybe you're dealing with, you can't figure out how God's going to do it, but he's promised you. He said he's going to take care of you. He said he's going to heal your body, and you just can't figure those things out. Stop thinking about what your flesh tells you and says, you told me that I was healed in 2 Peter. You told me that I am more than a conqueror. You told me, Father God, that I'm meant to be the head and not the tail. You've told me that you're going to take care of all of my needs according to your riches and glory, and that you would do more than I could imagine according to the power that I'm allowing to work and be active in my life. The moment that you get to that point, that, my friend, is faith. That's when you really begin to understand and feel and can comprehend what God is doing, not only in your life, around your life, but through your life. People need to know the world is dying. That's why the new ministry vision statement is that we're making living letters to a dying world. The only way to do that is to become disciples. Once we become disciples, then we become bondservants to Christ. As we are bondservants and disciples to Christ, our only goal is to go out and duplicate what Jesus has done in our lives, that people can begin to see and experience Jesus for themselves. In the Jewish tradition, if you were attached to a rabbi, he would want you to walk exactly in his steps so that his dirt or his dust would be on your feet, would be on your clothing. In the same way, you should be close enough to Jesus that if he was walking down a dirty, dusty road, the dust would be on your clothes and the dirt would be on your clothes. So he says, I fully believe God can do this. If you're sick in your body today, do you fully believe that Jesus is your healer, that it's been paid for in the atonement? If you've got financial problems, do you understand, are you fully believing that you may not know when or how, but that God has an answer and that God will do for you that which you could not do for yourself? Or are you still so trapped into your own life or into your own problems that you just don't see how God can do it? But can I just tell you that it's not about what you understand? Joshua would have never thought marching around a wall of Jericho all those times bring down the wall, but it did. The widow woman there in Zarephath may have never thought by making the prophet a cake with oil that I would have oil and meal to carry me completely through the famine. Or in the New Testament, that 6 water pots, or you fill up all the water pots you have and you take them to the master of the house, and the wine is better than anything he's ever had. How does that work? Or that when they were taking the cloth off of Paul's aprons and taking them to the sick, or the shadow of Peter. You see, God works in ways that we don't completely understand. And he always does something. Throughout church history, he's always had a moment of an outpouring to kind of bring the church, but it never matches or duplicates what was in the first time. Why? Because he's speaking to us where we are, how we are, to get us to understand that he is Lord and he is King. So the two things real quickly here is that God has the power to restore and that God provided. If you know how the story ends with Isaac, about the time that Abraham is about to plunge the knife into his son, who willingly laid on the altar, by the way, God said, I've got a ram for you. I've already provided the lamb. You see, a lot of times God may ask you to kind of step out on faith, not knowing the when, the why, the where, the how, but just trust him to do it. Now let's move to Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, believing what God revealed to him, even regarding things to come. Faith is when God begins to speak into your life, you are willing to speak that into other people. to speak that into their lives as well. So let's look at the two blessings. Here is Jacob's blessing from Genesis 27. You know the story. Jacob had tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing. But here was the blessing. Now may God give to you of the dew of heaven to water your land, and of the fatness, the fertility of the earth, and an abundance to grain of grain and new wine. May people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord and master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed. Esau was given this promise. Then Isaac answered and prophesied and said to him, your dwelling shall be away from the fertility of the earth and away from the dew of heaven above. But you shall live by your sword and serve your brother. However, it shall come to pass when you break loose from your anger and hatred that you will tear off his yoke off of your neck and you will be free of him. I could take that second part and teach for a week. When you break loose from your anger and hatred, then you tear off the yoke. Some of you today that are here that are watching or listening have been in places in your life that you're not exactly sure where or when or why or how God's going to do. But a lot of it that we hold on to ourselves is we hang on to those yokes of bitterness and hatred. And when God can free us from that, then we can truly walk in freedom. Now in Genesis 26 verses 2 through 5, The original promise was given to Isaac. Why do I say this? Because Abraham had time with God. Now Isaac has had time with God. Notice what it says. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I will tell you. Live temporarily as a resident in this land, and I will be with you and will bless and favor you. For I will give all these lands to you and to your descendants. I will establish and carry out the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven and will give to your descendants all of these lands. And by your descendants, again, there's the promise of the Messiah, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and consistently kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. So he's telling Isaac, look, everything I promised to Abraham, now I'm giving it to you. So that when Isaac turns around, he can now bless Jacob and Esau with a blessing. What did he? So he spoke prophetically to his children. He said, others will serve Isaac, Esau will serve Isaac, and people will receive what they give to Isaac, or to Jacob, sorry. That he will get, that Jacob will now get, if you're cursed, you're cursed. If you're blessed, you're blessed. Isaac was promised the same thing back one. He goes, I will curse them that curse you, bless them that bless you. What you need to understand that in the life of faith, it's not about what you want or what you get. It's all about who he is. Notice what it says, because Abraham listened to and obeyed. In the church world today, the two things I think that we need to get to is more of listening to the word and obeying what he tells us to do. We're running quickly out of time. I won't get to Israel or Jacob today. But I want to notice that even in Isaac's, all the good stuff that he did like his father, he also did things just like his father. Abraham ran into Abimelech and lied about who Sarah was, and that got found out. Isaac is now here. He tells everybody that his wife is his sister. Abimelech finds out, said, what are you doing trying to get us all killed? So they make the same mistakes, because sometimes even men of faith and women of faith will operate out of a place of fear. Fear of what other people may do. What I need you to do today is begin to covenant with yourself and covenant with God Almighty that you're not going to live in a place of fear, but live in a place of faith. There's so many voices that are vying for your attention, and most of those voices bring nothing but fear. They bring fear that something's going to take out your family. You're going to lose your job or lose your finances. And what God wants you to do is to not walk in that, because he's going to bless you. We are now part of that covenant. God wants to bless you and bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. It all comes back to that relationship that's not based on fear. So Abraham believed against all hope, believed against everything that he was going to have a child, and he did. He believed against all hope that that which was dead, God would bring to life, and he did. Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. He's already told that the older will serve the younger, will be over the older. We know all of those stories, but yet the line of faith goes back to holding to the promise that God has given you. Holding to the promise with a bulldog determination, I'm not letting go. This is where I will stand. And I promise you today, my friend, that if you can get to that place in your life, that you're going to find that things change when you are saying, this is God's word. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can walk in faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your glory. We thank you that your word is always true. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, today you'll let this word explode into the hearts and minds of all of our friends out there and let them come to a place, a new place in you, that they can hear your divine voice. And for what we know you're doing, Father, we're going to give you all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hey, we'll see you guys in just a little bit. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Stansbury. Last week, the first week in June, I preached a revival, six services at City View Church of God with Pastor David Mathis. And we've recorded all of those. I want to make them available to you on either a USB drive or a digital download. All you have to do is email me at pastorstansbury@gmail.com and say you want the City View package. What you'll get are all six services in MP4 video format. You'll also get the same services in MP3 audio only, so if you want to listen to them in your car or wherever. And you'll also get all of the study notes that accompanied each sermon. There's no cost to you. Just simply email me at pastorstansbury@gmail.com and say either you want the digital download or you want the USB key, and then I'll need, of course, your snail mail address for that. So I look forward to hearing from you. Also, you can always give any prayer requests. You can give any praise reports. We've had several of those. Some of the revival, one man got a job, and he'd been looking. We've seen healings, people filled with the Holy Spirit. We had people saved. So please, get a hold of these. These teachings are vital about the life of faith, and I believe that they'll bless you. Until next week, this is Dr. Stansbury saying have a great day. Thank you so much for coming today. Glad that you were with us. Don't forget to email us at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. And stay tuned right at the end of this, as I'm going to give a very special announcement about an offer, our very first offer from this ministry, on how you can see and hear, have the messages from our revival from City View Church of God last week. So just stay tuned right after this, and we'll see you next week. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Eric Stansbury. Many of you have been asking how you can help with our ministry, or perhaps you're looking for asking how you can help us. If you'll scan the QR code, it will take you to our Amazon wish page. There are things that we need to buy or we want to buy to make sure we can upgrade this particular broadcast to make it more of a blessing to you. So scan that, purchase what you want from that list, and we'll be ever grateful. If you need a receipt, we'll be happy to send you one. So again, this is your friend, Dr. Eric Stansbury, saying thank you for your help. Thank you for your prayers, because I've been overwhelmed by what you've been doing to help us. Thank you, and have a great day.